You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
Well, I want to tell you once again today, you can't do it alone. We started talking about this last week, but it's true. You can't do it alone. You can't do your calling, your assignment, your personal walk with God. You need people. When we begin down this journey, we realize that you're going to need to minister to people. You're going to need people to minister to you. Why is it so often that we slip into these routines that don't include people? And we develop these type of thought processes, just me and Jesus, as long as I got King Jesus, amen? But that's not the way that Jesus did it. Jesus had people all around him. He's had people all up in his business, and he was all up in people's business. He was about the business of people, amen? He was surrounded by this wonderful, emotional, messy, fantastic, beautiful, and sometimes complicated group called people. And so I want to continue this series called You Can't Do It Alone. And today I want to speak to you about Jesus on the move. Jesus, look at somebody, say, Jesus is on the move. It's true. So if you'll go with me to Mark 1:29. We're going to kind of follow this path, this journey that we took last week and continue it. And as you go there in your Bible, just tell somebody else, Jesus is on the move. So we're going to read a little bit here at the top, and then we'll just break this down a little bit. Mark 1:29 says, after Jesus left the synagogue with James and John, they went to Simon and Andrew's home. Now Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. They told Jesus about her right away. So he went to her bedside, took her by the hand, and helped her sit up. Then the fever left her, and she prepared a meal for them. That evening, after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases. He cast out many demons. But because the demons knew who he was, he did not allow them to speak. But before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Later, Simon and the others went out to find him. When they found him, they said, everyone is looking for you. But Jesus replied, we must go on to other towns as well. I must preach to them. This is why I came. So he traveled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. I love how this passage starts in Mark 1:29. It says, after Jesus left the synagogue with James and John, they went to Simon and Andrew's home. Why is that? Because part of your work will always be outside the church building. There's a great part of the church that is beyond the four walls of the church. And Jesus really shows that. He says, after he left church, this is what he did. And, you know, Jesus was there. He went, he knew how to minister in the church, and he knew how to minister outside of the church building. He was in the homes with the sick, with demon possessed, with demon depressed, with demon stressed people. Amen. How many seen some people that were demon stressed? They were just stressed. They had some stuff that was stressing them out. Amen. How many know demons can cause stress? Amen. But I'm so proud of our Hope United family, seeing some of our people doing the programs that we did for the school supplies, the program that we did for the school uniforms for the kids, and then lots of the programs that we do during the holidays. I love that we're showing Jesus outside of the four walls of the church. And we should, as Christians, never just leave Jesus inside the church. We should take him with you. He does some of his best work, actually, outside the four walls of the church, because Jesus loves people. Amen. Sometimes we forget about that. Once we've touched each other and blessed each other and prayed for each other and healed each other, Jesus wants to see other people healed. Jesus wants to touch others. And so if you aren't taking Jesus outside of the four walls of the church, keep praying and keep practicing, because this is where some of the greatest miracles happen, out among people. I want to challenge you in this season to just release Jesus into different environments and see what happens. When you're among your unsaved co-workers, just release Jesus. Just interject Jesus into the midst of the conversation and see what happens. You're with that unsaved family member that curses like a sailor. If you just, at the right moment, release Jesus, see what could happen. I didn't say release religion. I said release Jesus. There's a difference. Because Jesus loves to be where people are. And then we see in Mark 1:38, and Jesus replied, talking to his disciples, he said, somebody say must. We must go to other towns as well, and I will preach to them too. That is why I came. Say it with me, that is why. That is why I came. So he traveled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. Can I tell you that Jesus is on the move? Jesus said, I must go to other towns. There are other people that need to be touched. There are other people that need for us to share the good news with them. If you're looking for Jesus in the same place over and over again, you might not find him there, because Jesus is on the move. The disciples woke up and Jesus was gone. They had to go looking for Jesus. Can I tell you, don't sleep on Jesus. Jesus is on the move. Make no mistake about it. Jesus is always moving, doing new things. The Bible says what? Behold, I do a new thing. Jesus was already doing something new. They were asleep. They slept in. Woke up. Jesus was gone. Jesus on the move. And Jesus looking for people. Jesus with you when you go to share the good news with people. Jesus with you when you pray over that unsaved coworker that's sick in their body. Or Jesus with you when you talk about him with your family that isn't saved yet. Jesus with you when you share him with a friend. Jesus is on the move. I was a youth pastor for about 7 years, and I love youth ministry. I still go and talk to the youth leaders, and we trade stories, and I give them some ideas and strategies and impartation. But there was a period of time when, after 7 years, I moved out of youth ministry, and I was doing administration in the church, and I was doing more of the music ministry. And then they had some trouble with the youth ministry, so they asked me and Pastor Corinda to step back into youth ministry and help them out for a season. And what I found was, besides the fact for my 7-year tenure, we did some great things. We had hundreds of young people coming out every weekend. We had lots of kids saved. We were in the public high schools. We were doing all kinds of innovative things. But when I got back into youth ministry, and I tried the same strategies that hit home runs for us before, they fell flat. They didn't work. And so Pastor Corinne and I had to take a step back, just serve the people, pray, find new strategies, and then become effective again. Because not only is Jesus on the move, people are on the move. That's actually why Jesus is on the move, because the people are on the move and Jesus is trying to touch the people. So I found a lot of times as believers, we try to do the same thing that we've been doing for years. And even though it's failing and it's not working, we keep on trying to do it. But the people have moved on and we need to be on the move. There's a quote that says, insanity is defined as doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. We do that as Christians. You know, out of our love and our zeal for God, and we love people, we continue to work the same strategy when the strategy isn't working anymore. You know, the thing is, we need to make sure that we're tapped in to what Jesus is doing, because Jesus knows where the people are, and Jesus is on the move to find people. If you want God to use you, This is very important. If you want to be successful, realize that people are on the move. Jesus is on the move. So you need to get on the move. Amen. Jesus knew when to be in the synagogue, in the church, and when to be in the homes and in towns. Now, Jesus, he was there. He was devout. He was there every week. Amen. He was there every week at church. Amen. But he also knew how to minister outside of the four walls of the church. He was not caught up in tradition. Jesus was not limited to one type of ministry or one way of evangelism because Jesus was on the move. He was not caught up in nice little routines because Jesus was on the move. One of the greatest limitations the church has ever known is tradition. This is important because believers, we get comfortable with certain ways of doing ministry and it becomes tradition. And it begins to hold us back in what God has called us to do. The problem with tradition is this: it makes us complacent instead of seeking God again. So instead of seeking God for something fresh for the season that we're in now, we fall back into routines that have become our tradition. And so we get too comfortable. We get complacent. And tradition blinds us from what God is about to do. Jesus wasn't bound by tradition. Jesus honored the word of God, and Jesus never violated the word of God, but he had little time for tradition. Think about it. That's why the Pharisees were so frustrated with him all the time, because they were trying to protect and guard tradition, and he was only interested in guarding the people and the word of God. So there was a fundamental difference there that happened, because traditions are different from what God has told you to do. Traditions are the things that we build around what God has told us to do. This is our strategy, our most efficient way for doing what God has called us to do. But in a different season, the strategy has to change, because the strategy can easily become a tradition. Traditions are not unique to church, though. You see traditions in business, you see traditions in education, you see traditions in other areas, because there's some type of truth. It's truth, it's something there, but then we begin to build things around that truth, and those things become routines, they become traditions. And traditions in our life are oftentimes the enemy to creativity and innovation. And that's one of the first things that we find about the nature of God in Genesis is he's creative. He's innovative. He creates. He's always on the move and doing something new and doing something fresh. Behold, I do a new thing. Do you not perceive it? But why is it so often that we keep on looking back into tradition trying to find Jesus? He's not there. Jesus is on the move. And as Christians, as believers, and for our house, I want us to be a people that break off every man-made tradition we've constructed around the Word of God and get back to the fundamentals that are so powerful about our faith, the things that transform. Can I tell you that tradition doesn't transform? The Word of God transforms. The message of Jesus Christ transforms. But the way that we've done things in the past does not transform, because those things change. Amen? And we see this in the life of Jesus. He's always breaking off tradition, changing traditions, not violating the Word of God, not violating what God said or God commanded, but everything else that was built around it. He's very quick to break those things off. Then we look further in Mark 1:35. It says, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Then later, Simon and the others went out to find him. When they found him, they said, everyone is looking for you. They said to Jesus, everyone is looking for you. Can I tell you today, people are looking for Jesus. People are still looking for Jesus. And this makes our job so much easier as Christians. You're not having to sell something to somebody that doesn't want to buy it. Everyone is looking for Jesus. They might not be looking for religion. They might not be looking for a tradition, but they're looking for Jesus. They might not know it, or they might know it, but the people are looking for Jesus. All people are looking for Jesus. And if you keep on bringing it back to Jesus, your life, your conversation, if it always keeps returning back to Jesus, your life will be full of power. Your life will be full of people. If you keep on getting back to Jesus, if the church keeps on getting back to Jesus, guess what? The church will be full of power. The church will be full of people, because people are attracted to Jesus. People are looking for Jesus. Before you introduce somebody to tradition or your routines, introduce someone to Jesus. Because Jesus is the one that transforms. Amen. Jesus is the one that changes everything. I find a lot of times we try to introduce people to religion or tradition before we introduce them to Jesus. And that's where we miss it. A few years back ago, I was having my car serviced and I got into a conversation with the service advisor. And of course, being a believer, we need to bring it back to Jesus. Amen. And so we start talking, we're talking about other stuff, but then we finally end up on the topic of God and Jesus and church. That's a good place to end up, amen? And so he was telling me how he had seen some phony people. He had seen some hypocrites. And he wasn't interested in church anymore. He was at a place that he just, you know, he loved God, but he just wasn't sure about people. And so, you know, this is why it's important to take Jesus into your conversation. Because if you got Jesus with you, you got all the answers. You ever notice that Jesus was never at a loss for words when the Pharisees quizzed him and challenged him? He knew what to say. And so I just began to draw upon my testimony, okay? Let me tell you something. Nobody can argue with your testimony. They might could argue with you about science. They might could argue about facts, but they can't argue your testimony. So I just drew back on my testimony and said, well, listen, I was born a pastor's son. I didn't become a pastor's son. I was born a pastor's son. My dad was always a pastor. All right. I was surrounded by ministers. I saw so many ministers, and I saw the good, I saw the bad, and I saw the ugly. And I can assure you, I've seen more ugly than you have. But the thing that changed my life was when I had an encounter with the real Jesus. And once you've had an encounter with the real Jesus, your life will never be the same. And when you realize that Jesus is inexplicably connected to the church, because he said, upon this rock of revelation of me being the Messiah, I'm going to build a people, a church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. No skepticism, no social media, no secular media, nothing else is going to be able to stand against the church that I'm building. And so when I think about why I go to church every Sunday, it's because I have a relationship with the real Jesus. Amen. I think oftentimes we're not bringing it back to the place of our testimony, of that moment that we met Jesus and Jesus completely changed our life. Anybody here, God just completely shook your life up when he entered into your life? And if you haven't, maybe you have not intersected with the real Jesus yet. Sometimes we intersect with religion, or we intersect with tradition, and we think that's Jesus until Jesus shows up. Amen. Will you stand with me today? I think that the point that God wants to get to us today, and there should always be a point, there always is a point with what God is saying and what God is doing. Jesus is on the move. Jesus is about people. For God so loved everybody around you. He loves them the same way that he loves you. the same way that he transformed your life, he wants to transform their lives. And we don't need to fall asleep on what Jesus is doing. We don't need to wake up late and realize that Jesus already moved on. We need to keep up with what Jesus is doing. Because just like Jesus said, I must touch the people. I must continue to reach out and touch the people. Will you bow your heads with me? God, I thank you, Father, for what you're just stirring in our hearts today. And you're stirring this in our hearts in this season, God, to be more missional, to be more reaching out beyond the four walls. It starts in the church, but it's so much more than the building. The church is so much bigger than the building. God, you want us to touch these precious people. God, because our friends, our loved ones, our co-workers, the ones that aren't saved, that haven't heard or haven't met the real Jesus, maybe they've met religion. And it's easy to get skeptical. It's easy to get frustrated. It's easy to get hurt with people and with things. But Jesus, you've never left us. You've never forsaken us. And if we can just introduce people around us to the real you, stripping away the tradition, stripping away the routines, getting back to the basics of a beautiful, real relationship. God, I just pray for your people today, Lord, that they would take this relationship that they have with you and share it with others. God, I thank you. You've given us a mandate. You've given us a responsibility to share with those in our circle, those that have not heard about you, those that don't know the real you, those that only know expectations that have been let down, those that only know skepticism because they've seen fakes or they've seen phonies, and they need to be introduced to the genuine. God, give us the boldness, give us the heart to share. Because when people come in contact with the real Jesus, it is transformational.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.